This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday. It's a Sunday kickback. We're back on a Sunday. It's been a while on a Sunday. Me, Matty J, online with the one and only Adam Meadax Ward, all the way in WA. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's been a little while. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, bud. What's been happening, dude? Like it's been good to see you. Like from all I've seen, you're a very, very busy man in terms of in terms of cars, and you've got a new addition in the background there, which we'll get to yeah. very, very shortly. But how are you finding your time with your new car? Well, actually, before we get to that, I want to ask you a few questions. One, why you bought a van, and two, why a white van? Because they're synonymous with a bit dodginess, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
It gets worse.
It was bought from the police auctions. Oh, so it's got a dodgy past. And when I went down to buy it, I got it on the auctions online and I went down to pick it up. And it's just as is where it is. Like, they couldn't tell me if it runs or anything that's good or bad or anything with it. It's just, yeah, you bought it, it's your problem now. So I grabbed a tow rope and some, you know, the stuff that you normally grab, a bit of, you know, duct tape and a couple of cable tires and the rest of it, threw it all in the back of this dodgy white van and drove it home. And I'm thinking halfway home, oh, shit, this thing's got no number plates on it. I mean, it's got a day pass, but it's got no number plates on it. If I get pulled up and they see all this rope and cable tires and masking tape in the back of this dodgy white van, I'm going to be in trouble. So the missus is calling it the sus bus now.
It is a sus bus. But so, like, before we get to this, before you break it down in more detail and find out more about it and what it is in particular, okay, you've had an issue with your ute, and now that's the reason why you're buying the van, correct?
No. So when me and Jem first got married, we got married just before the pandemic, and our initial honeymoon was going to be doing the big lap, so driving around a show, and we were going to rent an RV or, yeah, just go hotel to hotel. And then the pandemic happened and it all got swept under the rug. And then we were talking about, you know, hang on a minute, we never really had a honeymoon. And I said, well, you know, I've always wanted to build myself an RV rather than rent one. And I said, well, look, I'm not really using the Mercedes anymore because I've got a motorbike for getting to work and back. Maybe I'd sell it and get a van instead. And, yeah, one thing led to another. So kind of interesting story with selling the Mercedes. So, as you know, I had a W203 C200 compressor and I had to put a bull bar on it because I live in the bush. So it was the only C-Class Mercedes with a bull bar that I've ever seen. Put it up for sale and my phone just went ballistic because I only put it up for $2,000. I was thinking no one's going to want a Mercedes with a bull bar on it. And it's had better days, you know, as all of my cars. I never buy anything good. It's just various levels of crap. But, yeah, the first guy that came out to have a look just didn't take it for a test drive, didn't open the bonnet, gave me $2,000 cash. And I said, oh, how are you going to get it back? Because he came up in a Commodore and he goes, oh, I'll come and get it during the week. Just give me one of the keys and I'll come and get it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. So the whole week went past and I messaged him and I said, oh, you coming to get it or what's the go? It's still sitting here. And he goes, oh, look, I can't get up there to get it. And I said, well, look, I'm coming down to get this sus bus so I can bring it down and give it to him. And he goes, oh, if you bring it down, I'll give you $100 cash. So, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, took it to him, did all the paperwork, and then I'm at the auctions and my phone's going ballistic and it's all my mates sending me pictures of the Mercedes up for sale. This guy's selling it. Within, an hour of me delivering it, he's got it up for sale for $2,500.
How much?
Yeah, $2,500. So you take the $100 that he gave me, he's making $400 on it. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I did all the paperwork straight away, so that's not my concern. But
yeah.
And even with the country number plates on it, he wanted to keep the country number plates. So yeah, very weird. But
so he bought this thing, and then basically said, "Oh yeah, as a flip car for four, he's making $400 on it." Like
$400 on it, yeah. Doesn't seem worth it. And then, like, you've got to take into account the petrol that he spent coming up to have a look at it and back. Yeah, it's a 2-hour trip, you know, and he was driving a V8 Commodore, so that's, what, $50 in fuel?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really weird. But, yeah, again, not my problem.
So then you went – so did you already – okay, the SUS bus. Now, so first of all, what is the SUS bus? It's a transit, right?
It's a 1996 transit. And it's the poverty spec version. So it's crank up windows. It's only got AC tape deck in it. Everything is basic. It's a manual. It's 5 on the floor. And like literally on the floor, there's nothing on the floor except the gear stick that just sticks out in the middle of nowhere. It's so random. And yeah, it's got problems. Had I known how much fuse it had, I probably wouldn't have. I mean, I got it for a bargain. I got it for $1,000. So, but it's burning through money pretty quickly because it's unregoed. I've got to do a hell of a lot of work to get it regoed. I initially thought it wouldn't be too bad because I work for the country mob that does the DOT, that does the registrations. But I got told after I told my boss that I bought this that we're not allowed to do our own vehicles. I have to go somewhere else. I can't have him. Even if I put it under the wife's name or the wife's maiden name, can't do it. And to be fair, my boss is very down the line. He's one of the very few people that's been able to keep his inspector's license because he doesn't do anything iffy. So, which it's not the end of the world. I can go to another inspection center and at least I've got him there to lean on to say, will this pass? Will that pass? And the answer's always no.
Well, so did you buy this sight unseen, or did you?
Off the auction. It was an online police auction. I wasn't there really looking for a van. I was looking for another generator for Audi because we lose the power all the time. Yeah. And then, as you do, you wander over to have a look at the cars because, it's the internet, and I spend most of my time looking at cars on the internet. So. And yeah, saw it and. Said to the missus, look, if this is under $1,000, I might grab this. She said, go for it. So I did. Yeah. I had to wait ages. I bought it and it was probably 4 weeks before I was allowed to go and get it. And I was stressing the whole time. I was thinking, they've changed their mind. They've reopened the investigation for whatever the hell it was involved in. Like, they won't say what the hell's going on with it. But then I thought, maybe they're taking anything that's half decent off it. I'm going to get down there. It's going to have no rims or anything on it. Yeah. No, it's exactly as it was in the photos. It's just because it's a plain white van, you couldn't really see all the dents in it until you see
on the pictures.
Because the front was buggered. It had hit a pole or something. It was the first job I did on it was I went down to the wreckers and we don't have walk-around wreckers like you guys have got over there. You've got to call them ahead and pre-negotiate and they've got to take the parts off and you've got to go down and pick them up.
Yeah.
It's just... So I managed to get one wrecker that was pretty good about it. I said, hey, listen, I'm a mechanic. I can come down and I'll still pay the same price, but I'll come and take it off myself and save you the hassle. And obviously I did that because I had to fill my pockets.
Yeah.
But, he was pretty good. He was about to get rid of it. It was the ute version. The truck version. So that was got a few bits off that. So I got the bonnet and got in and cut the front cross member, the crash bar, out of it and replaced it in this. And it's the first time I've done any serious body work like that. So I grind it all out and welded it all in and ground down my ship welds and covered it in Sikaflex and painted it so it looks like good welds. So hopefully that'll pass, but just every time I fix something, I notice something else has gone on it. So the temperature gauge didn't work on the dash. I noticed driving at home, Yeah, apparently your temperature gauge has to work for registration. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and because it's a petrol and manual, they're quite rare. Like, there's plenty, there's thousands of diesels, but not very many petrols. And yeah, the dash is a little bit different. So, I ended up buying an aftermarket temp gauge, and I was just going to mount it on the dash just in front of the thing. But me being me, I pulled the dash all apart and pulled the actual cluster apart and ground out the original temp gauge and made this one fit in where the old one was. I put all that in and then broke the bloody speedo cable. Yeah, I probably would have got away with having a temperature gauge not working, but I won't get away with not having a speedo cable.
Yeah, no.
And you can't go with GPS one either. For rego, you have to have the original one. Yeah. I think it's because the odometer's got to count.
Yeah.
Thinking about it now. Yeah, I asked my boss and he said, yeah, it's got to have the original one working. So, yeah, more fun. I noticed the tail shaft center bearing's gone in it. So I've got to get one of them, which I can get. That's not too bad. That's $80. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Lower ball joints are gone. Sway bar links are gone. Yeah. It's funny because it drove perfectly fine other than the exhaust was missing off it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've just done the exhaust today. That wasn't too bad, actually. I've got a really good exhaust guy I know. $250, he made a whole new system for it. So.
Oh, beautiful.
Pretty good. Yeah, really good considering that he didn't actually get to see the van. I just pulled what was left of the old one to him and a few dimensions, and he just made it all with slip joints and stuff so I could wiggle things around and get it to fit, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing ticked off the list.
Absolutely.
But just weird random things. Like, I had no A-pillar plastics, like the trims on the A-pillars, and no sun visors. I thought, oh, that really doesn't matter. But apparently you have to have them for rego as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that they probably had things behind the pillars and stuff hidden. And
yeah, the cops were probably stripping it all down to find stuff, yeah. Maybe
we'll continue that because we've just been joined by the one and only Adrian DiGiorgio. How you doing, mate?
Hello.
Good to see you, bud.
It's good to be on. Been a little while.
Has been a while, man. Has been a while.
Yeah, had a few things happening, so couldn't jump on, unfortunately. But now I'm here.
It's all right, mate. It's all right.
I was ready for bed, and then you messaged, and I'm like, all right. I'll make a appearance.
I was in bed, but then you guys are 2 hours ahead, so yeah
it's 8:30 here.
Yeah, right.
And I'm right. Getting old.
Well,
Adrian, only you bad word, right?
Well, Adrian, before we get into your stuff, because we're still gonna finish about the van, we've got a question from Danuja. He asks, hey yo, question for you: when you get a chance, I recently bought an IS200 and got hit the next day. Just my luck, right? No insurance on both sides. And just got it back from all being fixed, except it's got a cracked diff cover. Anyways, I didn't get a chance to transfer the car into my name or get roadworthy since it was getting fixed. And now my rego is suspended. Did I lose that 8 months of rego that I have left? Ooh, that is a good question.
Wait, what state's he in? Is it
Victoria?
Victoria. I don't know.
Danuja, I think you might be in a bit of strife here because basically, when you buy a car, it can be like you've got, I think, 30 days or 28 days to put it into your name. So, or the previous owner can suspend it. The issue is getting if it's suspended, it would have had to have been done by the previous owner because it would technically be in their name. Unless you've transferred it over from my understanding. Now that can be a bit weird, right? So you might have to re-register the car, which means you're gonna have to get a roadworthy anyway to put the car in your name. So it's really not gonna matter, but you might have to go and get the inspection and have to book an appointment to get it registered. So you might be in a bit of trouble there. That's probably the only difference instead of just changing it into your name.
So two questions. Did he get the guy's name and address and details, particularly his address? And question B, do you own a baseball bat?
That's
because there is another form of insurance that's not often talked about. Adrian's just losses.
Call all the boys around. Don't worry, got this.
That's the Adrian insurance, right? Like that's what happens when you get a book.
I was gonna say, if it's past the 28 days that it takes to get the roadie, then I'm gonna say I'm pretty sure that Rego, as long as it's a Victorian Rego, it should still be able to carry on.
But if it's been cancelled by the previous owner, then that's
it. But like, you said suspended.
Yeah, it's suspended.
You can suspend your own Rego if you don't want to continue on with it.
Yeah, but suspending means you still lose that time, though, doesn't it?
No, because like if you've got, you know how you can do 3 month installments.
Yeah.
On Rego, at the end of that 3 months, I think you can put your Rego on hold for 2 months. I think it is before you have to pay again, and you have to pay before needing a roadworthy. I think.
Okay.
That's so much different over there than it is here. We now have direct.
We're the nanny state. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Well, he just responded.
To have like 12 months, 6 months, or 3 months to rego renewals.
Yeah.
And it was a pain because you couldn't move things around. So if you bought a vehicle on one of those 3 month cycles as your other vehicle, then your rego's hit at the same time. And me having a fleet of vehicles, I had three that were all hitting at the same month and I couldn't move them around. Like I could, if I was paying yearly, then I could shift them around, but I'd pay every 3 months. But now they have a month by month direct debit for Rego. So you set it and forget it and you don't have to worry about your Rego running out because it will just direct debit it each month and take it away. So I'm happy with that.
I mean, it sounds like you guys are way more advanced than us here, but Deninja responded, he's like, yeah, I got his details. It was an attempted hit and run, though cops did nothing after I chased him down. I had to threaten with legal advice. So does that mean that he's paying up or not? Next question, next thing he says, it says it's suspended, but still says it expires in 8 months, so no clue. So does that mean, like what you said, Adrian, like it's just on hold for 2 months?
I think you can put it on hold for a couple of months until you sort yourself out.
And you don't lose that time of the registration you paid.
If I remember correctly, one of our good friends that has that E36,
yeah,
that he took it off the road for a while because he didn't need the car. To pay the rego, I believe he put it suspended. But I believe if you don't pay for it within 3 months of it being like the end of that suspension, then you have to go get a roadworthy again.
Okay.
As in like it lapses the actual car being available to be on the road without a roadworthy. So being that he's got 8 months left, I believe it is suspended, as in that 8 months will still hold on, but I don't think it's going to like hold on forever. He might only have like a couple of months to have it suspended, and then he has to, you know, make sure that it's back up and running again.
But see, my question is, Adrian, like, how did it get suspended? And two, how does he get back on the road at this point? Like, what does he do there? Like,
he'd have to put it into his name.
Yeah, how could he put it into his name if it's suspended? That's my question.
He's gonna have to take it on a permit down to Vic Roads,
okay,
like you would a new car. Well, at least that's from my understanding. Because if it's suspended like that, where it's not in his name yet, he has to then put it into his name. And in order to put it into his name, he'd have to take it down to Vic Roads anyway.
Hmm.
Which means he still might need that roadworthy in order to say that yes, it is, the car's all okay. He has to go down and follow the paperwork to say that he's purchased it, and then that's when they may unsuspend it.
But sounds like the best bet is to call Vic Roads and discuss it with them, I think.
That's probably the best way. I'm just trying to think of the way I've seen it in the past. But being that it's a car that's in Vic, that and it's going to somebody else that's in Vic, it should be okay. The only one that I think the only time that I've seen where that doesn't happen is when it's interstate. Then you just lose the rego altogether.
That is true. That is true. You do lose the register. But I also think, too, that, for example, Vic Roads being Vic Roads, they said, well, we can't give you that information because you're legally not the owner of the car currently.
Yeah.
So he might, as I said, that's why he might be a bit surprised. So look, Danuja, best to call him up, man, and basically, figure it out. So just so you know, we are live on Facebook, so you can give us a comment if you've got questions, like Danuja's got one. He responded, though. He did say the guy is paying.
Give us questions.
The guy is paying, but he's paying very, very slowly. And he says he hopes Adrian is right.
Yep, baseball bat job.
I hope I'm right for your sake as well. But for people, if you want to comment, say hello, whatever it is, we love to answer calls and we love to pick up Matty.
Yeah, it's the best part of the day. Let's be honest.
Matt, just quickly, why don't you pay him? You're obviously the one here with the thousands of cars. I reckon you're the one that hit him. Poor guy.
Yep. That's fair. That's fair. That is totally fair.
I love how he's spending your money.
Yeah, pretty much.
You were asking earlier why the van.
We're gonna do
a big trip. So we're gonna do the lap. We're gonna go from here. We're gonna go north up to where I used to live in Broome, going across the top end, and then we're gonna come down the coast and see you guys and everyone else along the way. But yeah, I'll pull up in the van and pull the Barbie outside and cook us all a big feed.
When are you going on your trip?
This is going to be September next year. My brother's 40th is September 21st. So I want to get to Sydney for that weekend. But yeah, I've already told the boss I'm going to have at least a month off, probably 6 weeks. So yeah, we've got someone that's going to look after the cats and cars, more importantly. There's someone here doing security duty on the tank and the festy. So yeah. But there, that's the big goal. So first stop is getting this damn thing registered, which is bloody nightmare. But yeah, then I've got a massive list of stuff I want to do to it. So I'm going to go the old bat wing, the 280 degree wing. You know all this work of ARB. So I was working for Opposite Lock this time last year.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're good people. They buy our fast as well.
Yeah.
I do like them.
Yeah, a very good friend of mine bought an Opposite Lock franchise in Midland in WA. So anyone in WA looking for four-wheel drive parts, go to OL in Midland and talk to Margie. He's a good boy. And yeah, that's another big thing since the last time I spoke to you guys. I'm now a mechanic TA, so a fake mechanic. I spend all my days working out at a country mechanic shop, fixing four-wheel drives and doing services.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, some of these four-wheel drives, the bush bashers, God, and farm repairs. So everything's fixed with fence wire or barbed wire.
Come on, man. That's the Aussie way. It's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, it comes in for a service and he goes, it's overheating a bit. And you take the grill off and there's a sheep mutilated in between the radiator and the aircon. You've got some really good insulation on your radiator there. That's a wool insulation.
Hey, it's made for winter.
At least it smell like lamb, right? It smell good.
Oh yeah,
mutton.
Could you just imagine, just like someone pulls up next to you, she's like, "Who's got the barbecue going?"
Back to you. The boss is pretty good. He does a barbie on Friday for us all.
Oh, nice.
Just all the farmers bring us food for.
Hopefully not in the engine bay.
Yeah. What's that?
Hopefully not in the engine bay.
Oh, mate, my ute had a kangaroo in the engine bay. That made me so up. It was one of the very first ones I hit. It went down and under and up and got its neck in the fan belt. It didn't like clean break its neck, so I had to force the back through the belts to get it out from underneath the car. That was rough.
You still got
telling the missus, just stay in the car, don't come out, don't look. So yeah, it was rough.
That's fair enough. Do you still have the Ford Ute or?
I do. We were just talking about it earlier, so I'm about to get rid of it. I had another drama with it today. So
you've had nothing but bad luck with that thing, eh?
Oh, yeah. Ruth, like, so...
you do, no, week, see, because you're doing it wrong, okay? You're doing it wrong. Let me explain something.
I need a jacket. I need a jacket up.
What you need, okay? What you need to do is you need to go and look at... it's a meet. I believe they're having one in Victoria soon. So you can fly down here. It's called Denny Ute Master.
Yes.
You need a five poster on the bus.
Yes.
You need a five poster on there.
I need a five poster, which I've been banned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over here at least, yeah. They were all made by a WA company called Irwin Bulbars. And yeah, it turned out they weren't getting DOT approval for them. They were just making them and putting the badges on them and getting them out the door. So, yeah, you can't have a five poster anymore. But the Utes got, well, it did have. It had a three on there. And then not last week, but the week before, my missus was driving at home because it's her car now. And a truck was coming the other way and hit a kangaroo and ping-ponged it down and underneath. And it just grabbed the bottom of the bull bar and punched the whole thing down and under and ripped the bull bar off the chassis ends and down. It looked like someone had tried to pull on it kind of thing. So, and it was shocking because the weekend before, I'd gone to three different wreckers picking up parts for the sus bus. And then the next weekend, I went back to those same three wreckers looking for parts for the damn ute. And he's going, oh, this won't fit your van. I'm going, I know, it's from the other buddy. Have a look out in the car park. There's a ute with no quarter panel and no front end on it that's just driven 2 hours. I need stuff to put it back on before I get busted driving home. All right.
You should put like a counter on the side of the car, like how many roos you've hit. 1, 2, 3.
It's got that. Did you not see the video I sent?
Oh no, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. I did. Oh,
yeah,
dude,
it's got another tip on it since last time. Yeah.
Oh man, it's
I got in trouble for that. Someone refused to serve me at Macca's because they reckon it was animal cruelty.
Are you serious? At the end of the day,
I said I'm not targeting them. They're targeting me. Go and tell the kangaroos that's table cruelty. Yeah.
I can already foresee it. Like all the kangaroos are in a meeting. They're like, when you see that grey ute, chase it.
Yeah,
get in front of it.
Yeah. But what's funny was this girl working at Macca's is saying that's animal cruelty as she's handing me a hamburger. Well, wouldn't hand me it. She's cooking meat all day and that's fine, but me hitting kangaroos is unethical.
I love people. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not too bad, medium rare with tomato sauce.
Humans. That's all you need to say. Humans. Yeah, generally. anyway, so that's the sus bus.
Yes, so the sus bus. So it won't be called the sus bus forever. It's a sus bus until it gets regoed, but we've got plans to paint it in snow camo because that's going to look hilarious in Darwin in the middle of the desert. A van that's painted in snow camo.
You should leave it white and just put on the side saying free candy.
Yeah, but it's been done.
Yeah, it has been done.
Yeah. I mean,
of course it's been done.
Maybe free car parts. Free 10 mil sockets.
You'll have all the guys rocking up. Is there something you're trying to tell us there? 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Beggars cannot be choosers.
That's good.
So snow camo, and then we're going to call it the wine sweeper. Because we're going to go around all the wineries and pick it up. But I've got this plan to do when you see those movies and they go to load up and they open a big cabinet and there's all the guns all backlit. So I'm going to do something like that, but with wine and wine glasses and stuff instead. Going to have it slide out. So you open the sliding door and then this thing slides from the inside into the hole where the door was.
Adam, I'm not going to lie. That's not very you. I was expecting you to have like the VB bus. Like it would just be all the different types of.
No, you can't say that. That's racist.
No, that's his. That's
just because he's a bogan. Just because he's a bogan, it doesn't work that way.
That is his choice. That is his
dream. You know, wine comes in boxes now.
Yeah, good old box of Sunnyvale. Only $8.
Yeah, and people just leave them hanging on their washing lines for you. It's great.
Is
that when you're going to spin it around and then hope it lands on you?
Beanbag of fortune, yeah. Aussie icon.
Well, you know what's funny though, Adam? You've got a it's a 96, you said, yeah?
Yes, yeah, 1996.
A 96 Transit that you're making to go around Australia. Rob, who's bought a brand new Transit. Yeah, and he's doing the same thing. So what I want to see is I want to see
a race.
You guys want a race, but two, how different you guys make them, and then three, like have them next to each other, and we're gonna take a photo when you're in Melbourne. That'd be
absolutely
so good.
And
which one's actually gonna last? I guarantee
mine will be nothing like Rob's.
I want to see
which one's actually gonna last there.
It's true.
Now look, mine's got its own onboard mechanic, so I'm good.
You'll be right.
Yeah, but there's like no electronics on it, which is what's a good thing. But yeah, being a new car, like
it's basically going to be new by the time I get it done for Rego, given everything then it's buggered.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, but you're right. There's very little electronics. This one is absolute poverty spec. This would have been the cheapest one you can buy because it's the short wheelbase, it's the low roof. It's got no aircon. It's the petrol, not the diesel. It's the manual. It's got manual window winders.
I'm curious to know how many people would have been lured to it.
How many people would have
been lured to your van that's there?
Look, I always knew I was going to end up living in a van down by a river, and funnily enough, it's parked there and just the river.
I'm gonna ask you. So it's got no aircon or anything. So it's
got no aircon, but I'm gonna do a rooftop aircon it can run when it's off.
Yeah.
So you're gonna cut a big hole in the roof and just put like
absolutely. I'm cutting holes everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's gotta happen. Like especially if you're driving up to Darwin and stuff, you cannot live on no aircon. You'll be
well.
Dead.
No, he's got an aircon.
The windows one here.
Exactly. If he wants full aircon, he just puts a window all the way down.
How do you reckon they did it in 396?
It's true.
How do you reckon they done it in the G60, the first car that went across the Nullarbor?
It is true.
And can you buy a brand new Land Cruiser now that still has wind-up windows?
Yeah, you can.
It's called a 79.
It's only like 150 grand or something.
It's a joke.
It's called a 79 Cruiser.
They're a joke how expensive those things are.
Although I do have to say that being in the job that I am now, I did have a pleasure of driving a GR Cruiser.
The Gazoo.
Yep, and not a fan.
No?
Not a fan at all.
Yeah. Especially after doing this job, I would never buy a four-wheel drive. I'd never get anything diesel. I'd never get anything with an EGR because that's just stupid. And I'd never get anything with a DPF because they just blow out all bloody time.
Yeah.
Yep. I got to drive one. And all I've got to say is it's a very interesting car because you jump in it and then the seat the pedals, they all come together. So it's not.
So that's not just a Gazoo thing. That happens in the 300 series too, right?
No, because I drove a VX and that didn't do it.
Yeah, because I've had a couple of 300s come through now that do the same thing. Both the pedal box moves up and the seat moves. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
The steering wheel.
All the electronics in it. And I'm just like, this isn't a four-wheel drive anymore. Like, you wouldn't go spend 100 grand on that thing and then take it out in the bush.
No, you wouldn't do it.
Not unless you got, $200,000 ready.
Yeah, like, but that's not the market they're going for anyway.
Oh, no, that's for billionaires.
Yeah, it's just the people that want to look like that. We've got a lot of them out here, funnily enough, people that have made a lot of money out of, like, Wesfarmers, because, this area, the wheat belt, was where Wesfarmers started before they bought Bunnings and Kmart and Target and all the rest of the things they own now. So a lot of the original board members and the board member families live out here. And, there's this whole... I won't bore you with all the details, but, you're not a true local unless you're, like, third-generation local and they flaunt it over everyone else. And, kind of funny because it's all still bogans, but... cashed-up bogans.
There is something I do have to say, and... Maddie's going to laugh because...
You've decided that an AU Falcon is a supercar.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. No.
I laugh every time I hear the intro.
I'm not getting into this. no, but I will say there is a Ford that has grown on me. especially being where I work.
Yeah. You gotta go see a doctor and get it cut off.
Oh, mate, yeah.
You need help, Adrian. You need help.
It's killing me. But I have to say, I'm actually starting to fall for the Rangers and Everest.
Oh, you haven't.
The next gens.
You haven't.
Yeah.
I'm starting to fall for them.
Have you guys got any of the marquees over there yet? I've seen a couple of them here now.
I still haven't seen one in person. I still haven't seen
no?
one.
No, I haven't had any of those, but we've got like a ton of the next gens that come in. Because a lot of them are all the fleet cars.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have to say, just with the ARB kit on it, as in the big bull bar, scrub bar, side steps, it just looks tough.
Do you have to upgrade
just
the DVM just to put that on?
I'm not answering that one because it's true. they're all fleet cars. They need the big 600 kilo springs because they chuck all the service bodies on the back.
Right.
But just seeing them every day and then getting to drive them. And I'm like, it's an 80 grand car, but they're comfortable.
You know what?
So I can see what people like them.
Here's the thing, right? They drive really, really well.
Yes.
And you know, like, why would you buy like a 300 series for 200 grand when you could buy something like that that does everything the 300 would do for a lot cheaper?
With a couple of mods, like I've seen a couple of cars come in where, like, the customers' cars, they'll go put the bull bar, side steps, suspension, and snorkel on it, and with the bull bar, they put a winch. And they go out and have the time of their lives.
Yeah.
Because it just becomes just another animal on the road.
Yeah.
So, like, I got to say, like, I am starting to come around to them, and it is killing me to say that. But I do like them. I reckon they're pretty cool. Apart from, and I still don't understand, if you're going to go buy a Ranger, why would you buy a Wild Track or a Platinum? They're the top-of-the-line ones. And to do anything on them, modifying-wise, which people do when they come into the store, you have to take off everything that makes them a Wild Track or Platinum.
Right, to change it. Yeah, because it's all just aesthetic stuff.
Yeah, like, so the roller blind comes off. If you're going to put a canopy on it or you want to put anything in the back, whatever it is. The roof rails that go along the roof, they come off because you got to put a rack on it.
Yeah, I'm going to put the backbone on it.
Apart from having just like the upgraded like leather seats, they just, I don't understand it.
But wouldn't you just like keep all that stuff so when you sell it, it's worth more?
No, because wires have to get cut and all that to take these roller shutters off now. Because they're not like the PX. So when the PX Rangers came out, they had it where it was on a string. So you could actually sell those, and they're worth 500 to 1,000 bucks. Yeah. But we've noticed all these ones are coming out because it's all wired into the vehicle.
Yeah.
You need to have another Wild Track that needs that because you then need the switches that are inside the car, which means you can start ripping apart looms and all that. It's just, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I reckon you could probably low-tech it if you're handy enough. Like if you want to put it on something completely different, like put it on my ute.
If anything's possible.
I don't think I ever really showed you guys, but I've got the hard lid on my BA, and I jumped into the ICC, the interior command control, and managed to tap into the boot latch for the sedan, even though it's a ute, and ran that out to the latch on the hard top. So when you press the boot release on the button that it releases the hard lid.
That's cool.
That's actually pretty cool because that does.
Yeah, I did a big write up on it and put it on the Ford forums because I had a load of people telling me you couldn't do it. Like the utes don't come with it.
Welcome to the Ford forums.
Yeah.
Everything is impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. Because I remember when I had the hard top on my ute, like you had to go manually open it with the key and stuff. So, but still, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because the hard lid didn't actually have a proper lock on it because that hard lid's not for that ute. It was for a Commodore, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it just made it work. But that's just what I do.
That's what you're going to do out that way. It's okay.
I have got a central locking kit for the SUS bus too. I'm going to put that in. I bought a whole new set of locks. You laugh at this. Full set of key barrels and locks, key barrels, keys, and the latches, the whole lot. It was, I think it was $100, came from Lithuania. Yeah. Because obviously these things are really popular in Europe. I bought that, and what else did I buy? Oh, and the central locking kit. I bought both at the same time on eBay. The central locking kit was coming from you guys over in Victoria, and the keys were coming from Lithuania. Lithuania stuff got here, I think, 2 weeks. Took 4 weeks, yep. 4.5 weeks to come from Victoria.
Aussie One Post. Word.
Australia Post. Well, two words, sorry. Two words, Australia Post.
It's, and you're a teacher.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
He didn't say he was a good teacher. He just said
I was a teacher.
What is it with everything being available in Lithuania? Like, whenever you go looking stuff up, it's just always Lithuania has it.
Yeah, it's weird. I was thinking, oh, do I really want locks and keys from Lithuania? Because they'll probably send a bloke over with an extra key at some point when I'm done and just open it and take it away. But.
I reckon, like, when you go, they're like, oh, we need this. They go out into the local car park and just like, oh, they need doors and locks. Take your car, strip all the locks out of it, just walk inside. All right, we've got all the parts now.
Someone's still trying to find their transit. Those individual parts are made in Lithuania for the OMs. And the OM's gone, right, we're not doing this model anymore. We're doing something else. And then all this stuff just got thrown out the back door. And then some other guys have gone through and grabbed them all. And yeah, it's like Festi parts, like the Ford Festiva, that modern Ford Festiva is still being made in Iran.
That's crazy.
Believe it or not. It's called a Kia Pride, but they're still making that exact make and model. And the problem being is Iran's got a trade embargo with everyone, so you can't buy anything from there. You can fly over there and buy it yourself, and a lot of the American Festiva guys do. They fly over to something next to Iran and get a taxi and go over to Iran and get all new parts. And
yeah, I'm good. I don't really want to go over there.
No, I don't think it's worth it for a 1993 Festiva, personally. But, yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, it's so weird seeing 2023 model Ford Festivas that still look like that, still boxy, still. Yeah.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just weird that it's the 121 and the Festiva and they didn't do it with like the 323 or the Laser or anything like that. It was only that model, but I guess because they just need cheap transport and you can't get much cheaper than a bit like South Africa making XYs.
Yeah.
After they were gone, just bought all the equipment and kept knocking me up.
That's quite funny. I want to get to you, Adrian. Updates with you in terms of your cars. So the M3, last time we spoke, cooked. Is it fixed yet or is it back on the road?
Still on the road.
Hey, so it's fixed?
No. Oh.
It's literally parked on the road.
Exactly. It's just sitting there. No, actually, Dad and I were talking about that before. I do got to get around to fixing it, but I got to fix the Rovers first. So that's still not going to happen anytime soon.
What's wrong with the Rover?
Oh, no. I've decided to build up the blue one, the diesel one. I've collected parts and now just going to work up the enthusiasm to go work on it, which I don't have.
So what's going to happen with the white one? You're going to sell that or?
Yeah, I'll sell that eventually once I've got the blue one on the road.
Yeah.
But just, I don't have the enthusiasm.
It's Adrian, like, be enthused.
You know when you're going to do something and it's like, you got to do it. And you're like, yes, I know I have to do it. But then you're like, or I could sit down and do nothing all day and watch a movie and actually enjoy my Sunday.
Procrastination.
Oh, yeah, I'm bad at it. At the moment.
Making today's problems tomorrow's.
That's exactly it. Well, see, at the moment, I'm working 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So I get one day off and I'm like, I could go work on the car or I could actually sit
So you're like me. Everything stopped on the Festiva when I started being a mechanic because I'm working on everyone else's bloody shit boxes. I don't want to come home and work on the shit box.
But why exactly. do you think mechanics cars are never the one are the worst cars to buy? Because they never work on their cars. You're like, why would
I thought it was the other way around. All my cars are shit, so I should be a mechanic.
No. See, that's the mentality going into mechanics. Then you realize how much worse everybody else's car is. And by the time you get back to your car, you're just like, oh, nah. So, yeah, I've got parts. I've got all the parts I need for the car. So I haven't got around to start working on it.
So you're in that little bit of nirvana at the moment where all those parts probably fit, but the best thing is you don't know that they don't fit because you haven't tried. So as far as I'm aware, they all work.
Yeah. All the parts will fit because it's like they're all made for the car specifically, or I've taken them off.
I've heard that before. Okay. I can give you a list of all the things I've bought specifically for that model that don't bloody work.
It's from ARB, so it has to work.
I've heard that as well, Adrian.
Bit of a plug there.
Just like everything's there. It's just
I thought I had it here. At work, I've got a mini sledgehammer and it's got an Iron Man logo on it because that's the Iron Man repair tool or installation tool. But
I'll get there eventually. See, now you've given me a bit of a strive to get the car ready because
you're going to have everything ready by September when I come over.
Well, if you're going to be going around Australia, I might have to meet you in Brisbane and we're going to go across Fraser a bit together.
Oh, yeah, do that.
So now I've got to actually put my finger in it.
Tell you what, Adam, you need to get like a. I'm pretty sure. Did they come four-wheel drive overseas? You can get a full drive transit.
Yeah. You can get a conversion.
You need to do like a full drive swap, like jack
it up. This is what everyone I work with. So they've all got off-roaders and off-road campers and stuff like that, and they don't understand. And why'd you buy a petrol? Why'd you get a road one? I'm going, because I'm all about being on the road. This is going to be the fastest lap you can do, kind of thing. We'd rather be on the road than being at a campsite.
Yeah, it's true.
So the whole design of it, like I've got all the design, me and the missus have been working on it. So it's full-size bed in the back and that's it. But everything pulls out from underneath it. So it'll be pull up, pull the Barbie out, cook, eat, sleep without having to pack anything or unpack anything and straight back out on the road again. So a couple of big deep cycle batteries in the back. And I've already ordered a 120-amp alternator. I'm just going to charge everything on the road. So I might put a solar panel up as well, but I don't think I'll need
it. It's worth it. If you're going to be having a fridge running 24/7 as well, I'd put a solar panel just for safety.
Yeah, but again, I don't think I'm going to be stopping. So, whenever the sun's up, I'm going to be moving. So it's going to negate having a solar
panel. It's a Ford. It'll be on the side of the road shortly.
Again, it's got its own built-in mechanic. It'll be right.
See, Adrian likes to throw shade at him because he's like, oh, you know, I've got, you know.
Adrian to be fixing the Ford today.
So. The only Ford that I had was terrible.
But that's just because you don't know how to look after them.
Yeah, well,
Before I bought the car.
And two, look who bought it, Adrian DeGiorgio. So does he buy?
What's supposed to be?
Does he ever buy a working car?
Yes.
M3.
Yes.
Worked for about a week. NX.
Worked for 3 months. That was
probably the only good car you had.
The NX is. Hey, you cannot diss the NX.
I'm telling you, it's the only good car you bought.
And I will smack you. Right? The NX is my favorite car. I say it to everybody all the time. I shouldn't have got rid of that. I regret it. Yes. They cost too much money now, and it kills me inside.
So have you had anything that Mighty Car Mods hasn't had?
Chaser?
Oh, I'm sure they've seen a few.
This is a problem, okay? Is the cars that I've had have been owned by a YouTuber at some stage, and the price has gone up.
Yeah, you bought them at the wrong end of the market. Yeah.
I bought the Chaser before anybody had them on YouTube, as in the big YouTubers. Then Adam LZ bought one and it went through the roof, which I'm happy because I don't really want another one. I bought the M3. Then Adam LZ went and bought the freaking top of the line one, which kills me. Laguna Seca, Blue, Manual, all that kind of stuff.
Mate, if you're going to compete with Adam Ilse, you're going to lose every...
I don't, exactly! I'm not even trying. I buy him first, and he's just like, I'll buy that now. I'm like, God damn it.
So what you're trying to say is Adam LZ, the Adam LZ.
He looks at my Facebook.
I'm gonna message Adam LZ. I'm gonna be like, hey, just out of curiosity, I need to know this for my own conscience. Do you by any chance follow Adrian DiGiorgio? One, two, are you copying his style? Because you're an asshole.
You just see, like you see in his side, he just like deletes off Facebook. No, not me.
But no, what you should do is send him a care package, because that's what my podcast went through the roof when I sent the vortex generators to Monte Carlo's, and they opened them on Unicorn Circuit, and it took off. Like everyone. Admittedly, they all came and listened to one episode and bugged off again because it was a shit show. But
it wasn't bad.
I think you guys sent in something to Unicorn Circuit. I mean, God, between the lot of you, I'm sure you could do my crap car for the next 12 months.
They already know the crap cars. When Marty jumps on, he already sees all the nuggets that I've made.
You've just got to turn it around and market it now.
Actually, he's bought the... The Delica.
I was just going to say that I got a van and then everyone's getting vans.
Yeah. So, hey, I bought the NX and then Moog went and bought an NX shortly after I did.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, well, there goes the price of that now. And he must have heard what I said, because then there was a comment that on when he showed that it was an NX saying, oh, here goes the prices of these now, where he actually put it on.
Yeah. I'm like, wasn't that funny how they reckon that? They started off saying the Monte Carlo's tax is the thing, and now they admit that it's definitely a thing.
But what I've gathered from this conversation is it's not the Monte Carlo tax, it's the Adrian DiGiorgio tax. That is essentially the tax.
I buy a car, it goes up in value.
What? I mean, but if that's the case, Adrian.
Let me rephrase that. I buy a certain car, and that certain car goes down in value, but the actual make and model of that car goes up in value.
The one you own goes down in value.
Oh, it goes down in value straight away. But see, like, the car sees me coming, and it's like, no.
My missus pointed out when I sold the Mercedes that's probably the first and only car I've ever sold.
Yeah.
I've had over 100 cars, well and truly over 100 cars, but I've never sold one. I've run them into the ground, and they've gone as scrap, or, you know, given them away as parts cars to friends. But I've never sold a running car before.
I do have to say, the only car that I've actually made money on is the Falcon. Like every other car that I've had, I've lost money on, but Falcon's the only one that I say that I've actually made some money on.
But how are you doing your calculations? Are you taking into account everything you've spent on it?
I didn't do much. Oh, mind
you, you don't do anything to them, so it would have gone out the same way it came in.
Not on the Falcon, because I cracked it with that thing because of the whole engine situation. But apart from that, I think I tuned it, to be honest.
You did. I mean, but to be fair, that wasn't your fault. That wasn't your fault.
No, and it just annoyed me. That happened, and then after that I lost interest and sold it. But everything else, I just tend to hurry up and sell it, get what I can for it, and move on. I don't care about what I get value wise out of it.
Well, if anyone's listening or watching and has a BA Falcon Auto, I know for a fact as of today that you can do 30 kilometers with a blown transfer line before it won't drive anymore. Those bloody transmissions, they don't have a dipstick. It's so stupid. So I had to get this little oiling can and put ATF in it, half a litre at a time, and thumb pump it into the line, and then a little bit more, pump it in, a little bit more, pump it in. I was on the side of the road for a bloody hour.
You didn't get the big canister, the one that you pump by hand?
No, then, no, because I had to go to a hardware store because there isn't any automotive stores out here. I was almost going to jump the fence at work, but the alarm system there's that good, I'd be buggered if I did. So, yeah, hardware store luckily had a bit of multi-trans ATF, so it was good enough to get it over.
Good enough. Yeah. Olive oil, that'd be good enough too.
Built for tough, Adam. Built for tough, they say.
Yeah. Found on a rubbish dump.
Well, look, 30 Ks with a blank trans line. That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive. That is very impressive.
And you know she ran it right the way until it would not go any further.
Jeez. I had nothing to say to that. I really don't. I don't even know what to say.
But... Adam, you couldn't do that in any other car. Like you could do it in a Ford because you'd get away with it because you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's just a Ford. It's like, you know what?
It'll bounce back.
It'll bounce back. You do that in like a BMW or like...
Oh, anything. No.
It's all over. No,
I take that back. If it's a bottom of the line, like E46, then yes, you could do it with. But anything that's like, it's up there in value, no. Because you'd be spending four times more what the car's worth just on a box.
That is true. Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it was so easy to get parts and wreckers for the Falcon.
It's a Falcon.
And that's going away. Yeah, that's not good. What's going to be the next thing that's going to be easy to get parts for, do you reckon?
Rangers?
Well, at the moment, like we went to the wreckers last weekend because I was getting parts for the Disco 1.
Mad invite.
Don't you start on inviting stuff. They make you start on anyone.
Yeah. I wish we had a pick apart here like they had in Sydney where you could just walk in and get what you want. Yeah, and sometimes, like, especially with me, when I take stuff off other cars and make it work on this car, you don't know until you see it. You know? Yeah.
Well, that's what's good about where we went. We went.
Yeah. But I reckon there's $1 million idea to do a wreckers with like a campsite and a pub. In the middle of it, and just make it a mecca, you know. So yeah, come drink at the pub, stay in one of the 1,000 wrecked caravans that we've got there, you know, and then spend the whole day with your mates in the wrecking yard. Or it would be fantastic.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'd do it.
Oh man.
Well, we went around to like the wreckers last weekend, and they just got a Disco 1 in, as in like 2 days before I went. So I'm like, oh sweet, fresh car. Walked in there. And half of the parts already been stripped off in a day. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, because it's not a car that normally goes in. But then my mate needed a steering wheel for his girlfriend's FG. So we start going through all the Ford parts. And there's like 6 FGs that are there with everything still like perfect. Because there's just so many readily available.
Yeah. So what's going to be the next? What's going to be the next? I mean, Getz maybe, but even them, they're getting rare now.
Yeah,
I feel like a Hyundai or Kia for sure.
Yeah, Hyundai's Kias, Camrys and the
Camry,
line.
Yeah.
But see, the issue with Camry
Teslas, maybe.
Well,
Teslas are hard because of the batteries. But you need a technician to take the battery out.
But the used...
Yeah, they say that, but eventually everyone will be...
No, I don't think they're allowed to with Teslas.
I'm actually doing a course at the moment on how to do the services on Teslas.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're allowed to sell it business-wise parts for Teslas because they've still got... what was it? I think it was Tesla themselves are saying only certain companies are allowed to sell their parts from business point of
view. New or secondhand?
I know it's new. I don't know how they're going with that secondhand, though.
Think they'll get that through somehow.
Because I remember when I was at the company I was before here, which we sold all European car parts, we used to sell some Tesla stuff, but it was very, very hard.
Yeah.
Because they monitor what you can and what you can't sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, it'd just be interesting because I absolutely think that like Kia Stingers are going to be the sought after ones. They're going to be like XYs are now and XBs. I think in 20 years' time, people are going to pay mega bucks for a Stinger.
It's funny to imagine. It's funny because like cars, like for example, like the Stinger and stuff, they're affordable performance. And I think affordable performance is always more, in my eyes, like remembered fondly than like, let's say, a C63 or stuff like that, because they were quite unattainable. So this is the reason why Commodores and Falcons and dare I say it, Kias and stuff like now, they're getting quite fond, like have fond memories for because of that, you know what I mean? So, I personally think that in terms of what's going to be out the records, in often it's just going to be all SUVs. It's going to be Holden Trucks.
Yeah, that's true. TVs,
Rangers, Everest.
Rangers, Everests. It's going to be.
I bet you not a single Ranger has a bloody ERG in it.
Oh, jeez.
God, I've done so many of them. I've been there a year now, and I reckon I've done more Ranger ERGs than anything else. And they're an absolute nightmare. They go across the back of the engine at the firewall. You've got to drop the gearbox and have the whole thing lying down so you can get over the top of it and get it out.
And apparently you have to do them too, because like if you don't do them, they like it's a well-known thing that they'll blow up.
It kills. Yeah, well, the coolant ends up in the intake.
Yeah.
Which you don't want.
I've got nothing to say to that. It's a flaw.
But it's not just the whole diesel kind of.
I mean, they all do it, but it just suits Rangers and the BT50s, which is also Ranger.
Same car, But the
good old bad swaps.
All these, these DPFs and stuff, like they're causing more problems than they are.
And you gotta wonder, like, how bad was it for the environment for them making them in the first place? Did manufacturing them hit the environment more than people running them for 6 months until they die and then having to get another one?
Well, here's the thing, like the amount of like Hiluxes and stuff I see, diesels that are doing a DPF burn, and the smoke that's pouring out of them, I'm like, it's negating all the work it's doing anyway. So I'm like, what is the point? Like, what is the point? So I don't know.
It's the perception.
Yeah, virtually.
Yeah, they just need to look like they're doing the right thing.
It's like the whole electrical car market.
Yeah.
Makes it look like it's, we're doing better for the environment. But those batteries are not environmentally friendly.
Well, look at that guy. Hey. Look at that ship that's burning over in the Fremantle kind of
channel.
The EV people are like, I only had 20 EVs on there. It's had 500 EVs on there.
Yeah,
and they're in thermal runaway. That's not going out for weeks. If that was a petrol powered car, it'd be out within a day. And this is. It's a nightmare. I just don't think it's the answer at the moment.
Well, the Hummer
I don't EV. Know, because I'm performance-based and I love driving electric cars. Like, just that acceleration, you can't get it from anything else.
Oh, like, they're unreal. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yes, you can.
What accelerates better than an electric vehicle?
Dodge Demon 170.
Quick and fast are two different things. That,
0 to 100 in 1.66 seconds, which is more than a Tesla.
So quick that has to be.
But different scenarios as well, right? That Dodge is on.
Doesn't matter. It's on 170 proof alcohol. It doesn't matter. It's quicker.
It has to be in optimal conditions on a prep track with.
Doesn't matter. It is quicker.
99% of the time, it will not be quicker.
It is quicker. Doesn't matter.
All right, well, let's see what happens when they put the plaid on there.
No, actually, what I was going to say, though, is with the Hummer EVs, unfortunately, they had a...
Those Hummer EVs. Have you seen them?
Yeah, honestly, I think they're quite cool. But they...
See how much they weigh?
They're like 5 ton.
Yeah.
There's bridges here that you wouldn't be allowed to drive them over.
No, 100%. You couldn't take it to Cape York.
No way.
But,
And then the range isn't that great. It's got more battery capacity than any other electric vehicle, commercial vehicle you can buy, and it's still got shit range because they've just ran all the levels up. They're going, right, let's give it the most batteries we can, and because they've got the most batteries, it's got the most weight, so it's just brought it back down again, and they haven't got the range.
Yeah, but did you hear what happened with the batteries? all the Hummer EVs that have gone out had to go back because they've got a battery fault. So they've had to replace them. And the only way to replace them is you're going to take, like, it's like the body comes off the chassis because that's where the battery is, in the actual chassis itself.
Yeah, but in between the rails.
This goes back to where I say environmentally friendly. They're not. Because all those batteries that are in those cars, what do you do with them?
Mm-hmm.
You can't break them down for anything. So they're just going to sit there.
Look, let's not badmouth lithium because I live in WA and we mine a shitload of lithium. Why WA's not in a recession.
It funds your state, Mr. Ward.
Oh, not just our state. We're in, they're cracking the wobblies again because we're not getting half of our GST. It's all going to help you guys. So, yeah, you're welcome, is what I'm saying.
We'll take it. Gentlemen, I'm gonna have to call it there. I think that's been it's been a good hour and a half of just complete chat.
That wasn't the word you were going to put in there originally, was it?
You was going to say pure shit,
but you know, I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to say those things. No, we'll have to do one of these again very, very soon. It's been good to do a kickback again because I actually enjoy.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to do van updates. We're going to have to get Rob on and
absolutely.
Rob
was going to come on tonight, but yeah, he had something on. So, but it'd be cool to compare vans, compare the transit.
transit trends.
I reckon we should do more chats like this. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah, it is. It was good. It was really chill. Adam, anything you want to plug? Do you want to plug yourself? Do you want to plug your
transits? No, plug your things. Do your show.
Adrian, anything you want to plug? That Skylines are not... So R35 GTRs are not supercars, is that?
I'm going by.
Are you fishing for a new intro?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get all new quotes, so that's all my list of things to do.
You're not going to start me on this when we're about to leave.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to bed angry because of you.
Make sure you turn your phone off because you're going to get messages every fucking.
I'm going to call in tonight. I'm going to call tonight at 2 a.m. Yeah. I still haven't slept.
No, it's going to be like I'll call him with like a private number, and he'll be like, he'll be like, who's this? GDRs are supercars, and it's hang up.
This is your conscience speaking.
Yeah.
Look, they're not, all right? Simple as that. They're glorified sports cars in the story.
We'll see. Like and share our Facebook page. Like if you've been commenting on tonight, thanks to Nujo to you for coming on the show. Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk, TORQE with Matty Jane. If you're missing any of your previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting app. Check out our merch, go to our Teespring store, go to teespring.com, type in Car Talk store, buy some merch there, or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. We've got our new t-shirt design coming out tomorrow or the day after, depending on when I can finalize it.
GTR supercar?
It should be. I actually want to take a picture of Adrian and just say, with a thumbs up, GTR is not a supercar.
I will punch you in the mouth.
But that's what it says on the back.
Yeah, that's it. And then I still got to make the underwear that says potential. I haven't done that yet. I still gotta do that.
That I would buy.
I know you would buy.
I would rep that every day.
I keep messaging the Skid Factory saying that they have to do undies.
Oh, mate, they have to. They need to. It's in the name.
Yeah.
What is it? Any skid's a good skid unless it's in your pants?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Any skid's a good skid unless it's in your pants. But gentlemen, thank you. Thanks to our listeners on Facebook, and I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Au revoir.